Let's pray. And now, O God, may your word be proclaimed either through me or perhaps this morning in spite of me. Amen and amen. So 30 years ago now, I was ordained deacon in the United Methodist Church, the Florida Conference of the United Methodist Church. I started my career in Florida, transferred to Texas. That's a long story, but that's where I began. And so in those days, there was two levels of ordination. There was deacon and elder, probationary member, and full member. And you became an elder, which I am now, or a full member, after you've been out of seminary and served in a local church for 2 years. Then you went through the process again of the boards and the psychologicals and all that. With me? Okay. So I was ordained deacon at Florida Southern College in Lakeland, Florida, the home of the moccasins. I never have figured out why they're the moccasins, but that's what they are. It's a Methodist school, so it's better than being the devils like Duke, I guess. And the bishop who ordained me was an older gentleman, Bishop Earl Hunt. Bishop Hunt has since passed away. And he gave this incredible sermon. All of us who were ordained sat in one area, and the rest of the people were in the rest of the congregation. And he was speaking to us, but he was really speaking to everybody. Because he talked about calls into ministry, whether ordained or lay. He talked about being faithful to the call and to remember all times that it is God who called you, it be God who equips you, and it is God that you serve. So that was his message, basically. And he came to what should have been the end of his sermon. It was perfect ending. We all thought he was going to land the plane. And we were all ready to applaud because that's what you do when a bishop speaks. So when our bishop comes October 1st and preaches, you applaud because that's what you do. You don't do it for a regular pastor. You just do it for the bishop. Okay? So we were about to applaud, and he turned away from the pulpit, and all of a sudden he turned back to the pulpit, and he simply said this: there are two things you still need to learn about being a pastor. You need to learn to say no, and you need to learn to say hell no. And then he sat down. Now, you know, I thought there would never be a day that I had to be reminded or taught to say no. Because let's just be honest, one of the first words you learn as a two-year-old is no. That's why they're terrible twos. Because you say no to everything, right? Your parent would say, or if you're a parent, you'd say, eat your vegetables. And the response,
no.
Clean your room.
No.
Share your toys.
No.
Go to school. No. It's what we learn. It's what comes out of our mouth from an early age. And then somewhere along the way, we begin to grow up. And we begin to learn that people like us better when we say yes. Right? And let's just be honest, we liked to be liked. So we often say yes when we really want to say no. And people do the same thing with us. And we like them better when they say yes. It gets us frustrated when they tell us no. And so we tend to say more yeses than we do nos. Right? I can't speak for you, but there have been times in my life where saying yes has put me in positions I'd rather not be in. I've said, is Tony here? No, my DS isn't here, okay. I've said yes to bishops and DSs and been appointed to places I'd rather not go. I've said yes to meetings I had no business being at, and all during the meeting I'm thinking, here's an hour of my life I'll never get back. I've said yes to doing things, events and invocations at things I'd rather not be at, but I want people, so I say yes. I've said yes to doing things for people that I hardly know, and I've said yes to doing things for people that I don't even like. And what I learned is the more I said yes after yes after yes after yes after yes, My life began to get crammed full with yes, and there was no space for me, for my family, or for God. And it took me years to understand what Bishop Hunt was warning us about. Because Bishop Hunt knew that as preachers, but not only preachers, regular people too, that as preachers, we tend to fill our lives with more yeses than we do nos. And we get busy lives, busy schedules, but our hearts and our souls are empty. And what I've had to come to learn, and I'm still learning, is that no is a gift that God gives us. Because what we can do with the word no, it can act sort of as a scalpel that carves away all the excess that it fills our life so that we can make room for ourselves, for our families, and for our God. And I also think we need to learn to say no. Because sometimes when we say yes, when we'd rather say no, our lives get so full, we can't say yes to something even better. Sometimes you have to say no so you have room in your life to say yes to a greater good. We have problems with saying no, but it's biblical. I could tell you story after story after story of men and women in the Bible who said no because they understood what Bishop Hunt was trying to teach us. That we had to know who we are and whose we are. There's a guy in the Bible named Nehemiah. You might have heard of him. Nehemiah had a mission. His mission was simple. He was on a mission from God, Matt, just like your tie. And his mission was simple. He was to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And if you read the book of Nehemiah, you will learn that Nehemiah was being interrupted again and again and again and again. And with every interruption, he thought about and he just didn't listen to him. He wasn't being rude. He just knew what he was supposed to be doing. In fact, I love what he said. He said this. Put it up. He said, I'm doing important work, so I can't come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it to you to come down to see you? I mean, these might have been good people, might have been good meetings, might have been good things. But Nehemiah knew what he was supposed to do was to build the wall, to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And so he talks about four times where people came and interrupted him. And each time he said, no, 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 no. And see, the secret is, if you know your identity and what you're called to do, you can say no. And if Nehemiah doesn't do it for you, how about Jesus? In fact, Jesus began his entire ministry not with a yes, but he began with a series of no's, right? And Jesus was baptized, right? And he comes up out of the water, and the gospel records that the heavens opened, and a dove came down, and a voice proclaimed, "This is my child, and who I am well pleased." And then right after that, he was chased out into the wilderness for 40 days, where he was tempted with the same things we're tempted with. Let's look at that. If you have your Bible, open to Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. Jesus returned from the Jordan River, full of the Holy Spirit, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. There he was tempted for 40 days by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and afterward Jesus was starving. And the devil said to him, "Since you are God's son, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." And Jesus replied, "It is written, people won't live only by bread." Now, let me give you a hint. Whenever you see the word bread in Scripture, it's not talking about Wonder Bread that you make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches out of. Bread in Scripture is code word for stuff. For the material stuff and the goods and the things that we like to gather. And so what I think the tempter is tempting Jesus with is, if you turn these stones into bread, into stuff, you'll have more stuff than anyone else. And when Jesus said no, what he was doing, he says, I refuse to be defined by what I have. Because see, that's what the world likes to do to us, right? If you have a lot, you're pretty special. If you don't have much, you ain't much. And so we're constantly tempted to buy more and gather more stuff. And what Jesus knew is that when you start worrying about gathering stuff, because that's how you're defined, you're never going to have enough stuff, because someone's always going to have more. And we want to be the most. And when you say no to that temptation, to living only for stuff, for bread, what you're doing is you're reminding yourself that you are a child of God. And in you, God is well pleased. That's the first temptation. Let's look at the second one. Chapter 4, verse 5. Next, the devil led him to a high place and showed him in a single instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said, I will give you this whole domain and the glory of all these kingdoms. It's been entrusted to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. Therefore, if you worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered, it is written, you will worship the Lord your God and serve only him. See, now it's my belief that this is the second no, Jesus says. And what I think Jesus is saying no to is that if you had all this stuff, you would have the most impressive resume of anyone on earth. You would be a rock star. But Jesus said, no. See, if the first temptation is to allow yourself to be defined by what you have, then maybe the second temptation is about being defined by what you do. And we say yes, and we do a lot. You ask anybody how they're doing, I'm busy, right? It's like a badge of honor. I'm busy. Because doing makes us feel special. The more we do, the more important we think we are. And if we don't do, we're not important at all. I got accused, and I sometimes get accused of being a human doing, and they want to know when I'm going to be just a human being and just be. I mean, I've never asked anybody, how you doing? And they just said, hey, I'm just being. But you know, sometimes we need some space to not feel like we're carrying the entire world on our shoulders. Sometimes we need space to not worry about being the most important person in the room. Sometimes we just need a little Sabbath. And instead of doing, just be. Because when we just be with God, that's when we can taste his love and his grace. And when we say no to that temptation, what we are saying is we're reminding ourselves that you are a child of God, and you God is well pleased. Then there's this third temptation. Verse 9 through 12. The devil brought him into Jerusalem and stood him at the highest point of the temple. And he said to him, "Since you are God's son, throw yourself down from here. For it's written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and they will take you up in their hands so they won't hit your foot on a stone.'" And Jesus answered, "It's been said, 'Don't test the Lord your God.'" I just love that one. See, because what the tempter is saying to Jesus, look, if you do something spectacular, like throw yourself off the cliff and the angels save you, people are going to go, wow. And they're going to give you a standing ovation. And people are going to really love you. But Jesus said no. Because Jesus didn't want to be defined by what other people thought of him. See, if the first temptation is to allow yourself to believe that you're defined by what you have, if the second temptation is to allow yourself to believe you're defined by what you do, then the third temptation is to believe you're defined by what other people think of you. And sometimes we just have to say no to that. Because otherwise, if we keep saying yes, all we're doing is living a life trying to please other people, trying to get that person's approval and that person's approval and that. And let me tell you what, that is tiring. And when we say no to that, we are simply proclaiming that you are a child of God and God loves you and is pleased with you just like you are. It doesn't matter what that person thinks of you. It's you, your family, and your God. Years ago, Bishop Hunt warned the pastors. He warned us that we have to learn to say no, because he knew that when we enter the local church, we're going to be tempted to believe that we are defined by what we have, by what we do, and by what other people think of us. And he wasn't speaking just to us. He's speaking to all of us. And the key for Bishop Hunt was his favorite phrase. In order to say no, you have to know who you are and whose you are. You are a child of God. And you belong to the creator of the universe. And God is pleased with you. Now, I was talking to one of my preacher friends and told him I was doing this series on six words that will change your life, right? And he said, "Well, which one are you starting with?" I said, "I'm starting with no." And he said, "You're stupid." He's a good friend. And I said, "Well, why?" He goes, "Because you're going to teach your congregation to say no. Then when you ask them to do something, they're just going to look at you and say, 'Well, you told me to say no.' Well, next week we're going to talk about yes. But what happens if they skip next week? They're just going to go no." And you know, the more I thought about it, the more I thought he's probably right, but I don't care. You know why? Because I would, thank you. Where were you the other two services? Because I don't want you to say yes when you'd rather say no. I have seen too many ministries, too many programs, too many classes die on the vine, a slow, agonizing death, because people said yes out of guilt and obligation. And if you don't feel passionate about it, or if it doesn't light your fire, or you don't see that's how you're supposed to serve God, then for all, say no. I'll tell you how I find people to ask what I want, when I want people to serve. This is the truth. And I've done this with some of you. Someone says to me, "Marty, we need someone to do something." And I said, okay, at church on Sunday, I'm going to just, before my quiet time, before I go out and everything gets crazy, I'm just going to ask God. God, show me, tell me, whisper to me, somehow give me a sign. And I'm not very bright, so it has to be like a big sign of who I'm supposed to ask. And he always finds someone. He always tells me. And what I do then is I either call you up or see you, and I say, look, I believe God wants me to ask you to do this. But before you answer, I always do the second part. But I don't know how you're supposed to respond. So you may supposed to say no. And maybe the reason why God wanted me to ask you so we could have a conversation. I don't know. So I want you to learn to say no. One of my favorite authors, Bob Goff, he quits something every Thursday. So he said, every Thursday I just quit something so I can make room for something else. So he tells a story that this one girl wanted to break up with her boyfriend, and he said, well, just do it on Thursday. I'm sorry, it's Thursday, I'm quitting you. Sometimes we just have to say no because there's something out there that we are created to be and created to do. So this week, the challenge is to think about saying no. No to more commitments, no to more stuff, no to people's approval, no, just no. And I know we're not very good at saying no, so we're going to practice. Ready? I'm going to count 3, 2, 1. When I hit 1, you say no. We're going to see how good you are. I wish we had a drum roll. That would be better than 3, 2, 1. Well, they can't hear it. 3, 2, 1.
No.
That's pretty good. If you want to change your life, really, sometimes you have to say no so that you can say yes to what God created you to be and for what God created you to do. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for today. We thank you for this community, for the people who love us, for people who support us. We thank you for the students and the teachers as they begin this new school year. We ask that you be with them and watch over them and guide them. Be with the parents who are having to let their student go, their kid go to kindergarten or first grade for the first time, and they don't want to let that kid out of their arms. Be with them and whisper in their ears a word of hope and confidence and assurance that you are with all of us. And so, Father, give us the right words to say, whether it's no or whether it's yes, whether it's thanks or whether it's help, or whether it's sorry, or even if it's wow, so that we can be what you created us to be and do what you created us to do. We ask all of this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen and amen.